your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Is Brother Doug Jernigan in here tonight? Brother Jernigan, are you here right now? If so, raise your hand. I thought after choir with the Heritage Praise Singers, they must have needed to go. The reason I asked was last Wednesday night, I had him all prepared to read Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 and verse 16, so I wouldn't need to read it. Save my voice a little bit. So, Brother Cotton is always a joy to minister to. He smiles. He knows more than I do. He teaches better than I do, but he smiles when I minister. So you don't know what an encouragement that is. And I'd be honored for you to come and read this scripture. Acts chapter 3, the first 8 verses, and then verse 16.
One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And then 16. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see.
Thank you, Dr. Cotton. One thing we see here is how this man did expect to receive something. As he looked at Peter and John and was begging, it says there in verse 5, so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter and John had said to him, "Look on us." So they wanted to be of help to him. Now, I see all of us in that. We want to be of help to people. Peter and John wanted to give this man something. The man wanted money. They didn't have money, so they used the words like this, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you." And they spoke the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And so they gave him whatever was in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, for Peter and John, there was power to get up and walk. Now, Jesus had something similar to happen, of course, and Peter and John would have seen it many times as Jesus had them with him as he helped people. But one time was by the pool where there were people waiting for the water to be troubled, it says. And once a year, an angel would come and trouble the waters, is the way it says it. And whoever got in the water first, only that person would get healed. I don't understand that. When we get to heaven, we can ask about it. But Jesus got close to a man there that had an infirmity for many years, And Jesus asked him, will you be made whole? I'd love to, the man said, but nobody helps me get in the water first. And so Jesus reached out to him to bring healing to him and healed that man. He got up healed. I don't know what happened to all the others that were sitting there sick. We can also ask the Lord that when we get to heaven. We don't know everything. We don't get all the answers as about everything. But we know Peter and John had seen Jesus do this type of thing. But something about Jesus was so strong with Peter and John that it was still happening like it had happened with Jesus. Something about Peter and John's connection with Jesus was so unbroken and strong, even though Jesus had risen into the clouds and would come again someday and was out of their midst in that sense, something about Jesus was still so strong that this man received something when they said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And Peter reached out, took him by the hand, and it says strength went into his ankles. And he began to leap and jump and leap like he had never been able to do before. So for me, that got a hold of me concerning the revealed power of the Lord's presence now. Why I am not like Peter and John, I do not know. Because I love Jesus too. I know I haven't been with Jesus on the dusty roads and walking through the cornfield, eating corn out of the corn shucks and sleeping who knows where every night and not knowing where we were going to go the next day. Well, I have been in that condition a couple of times in my life. Most preachers have. And Jesus has always been faithful. So I don't mean to speak disparagingly of the presence of Jesus because he's really blessed all of us so much. How can we say that we wish we could have what Peter and John had when we have what we do have? So I don't mean to disparage at all what Jesus Christ means to us tonight. I just don't understand why a person doesn't get healed when I speak to them in the name of Jesus Christ for them to be healed. Am I saying it right? Am I praying enough? Do I fast and pray enough? I think it has more to do about my connection with Jesus and his revelation of himself in our midst. I'm consumed a lot of times with getting other things done, getting ready to go somewhere in the car, getting the car worked on and getting it ready, getting to the place I'm going without running into somebody, getting there without fussing at somebody at the next red light, getting there and trying to concentrate on what needs to be done for the person, getting into the hospital room and being ready to believe God in the midst of all the paraphernalia of medicines. And so somehow in the midst of that, I need Jesus to be so revealed in the midst of where we are that the connection happens. And verse 16 still happens. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. I do not believe Jesus was there any more than he's in this room here right now. So I don't believe there's any lack of Jesus being fully capable tonight, right here, right now, to do the same thing. I do believe that in my awareness of who Jesus is and the name of Jesus and what it means, I can gain more faith than I have right now. What is there in a name? Usually a name comes from the parents. They give the name. We know that the name of Jesus was given by Almighty God when the angel said, "Call him Jesus, for he shall save people from their sins." When a person signs a check or a document and puts their name on it, whatever there is behind that signature to back that up is just as real as looking at their name on that piece of paper. When a person is in authority and they seal an order, when Pilate sealed and put his seal on the stone that was rolled over the tomb that held Jesus' body, there was something behind that seal that had the authority of all of Rome behind it. When there's a warden of a prison that signs his name to a release, and you have been in a prison cell, but he put his name on a piece of paper concerning you, you can walk out the door a free man. Now I say tonight in our midst that there is a name greater than the name of anyone who can sign a document on the earth tonight. He has put his signature of his shed blood upon the document of the covenant of God over you and me, and people who name his name and walk with Jesus. He is greater than any authority of government to put a seal of an order upon anything on the earth tonight. Jesus' name is greater to break open any tomb and set a person free. His name is greater than any warden of a prison, for the name of Jesus sets a man or woman free from the prison of sin and Satan's grip. There's something about what's in a name that came through for this man through Peter and John. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. I believe we need to keep that in mind of what's in the name of Jesus and not settle for any less in our heart's desire than a fuller revelation of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. For him to be made so real in every service we come together in, for him to be so real when we're at home and we need healing and we pray one for another, for him to become so real as your Sunday school class meets, gathers in prayer, hears the Word of God, and sees the wonderful works of God, that something has happened, that Jesus has become so real in our midst. So revealed in his presence and the power that's behind his name, that cancer is healed in the physical body. Faith in Jesus' name. Faith is substance, the substance of things hoped for. Faith is evidence, the evidence of things not seen. That's the description of what faith is. You can almost feel faith. You can almost see faith because it's substance and it's evidence. It's just there or it's not there. It's present or it's not present. It has come about all of a sudden because of some connection between Jesus and the need at hand, or it doesn't happen. We want it. We want the revelation of the Lord in our midst. We want his revealed glory in our midst. We don't want anything to hinder it. We don't want anything to take the place of it. We are hungry for the revelation of the glory of God. Because we believe in that revelation of God's glory, there comes victory over sin, deliverance for the sinner, healing for the physical body, and lives that are transformed and walk a path of victory of life through Jesus Christ. Sometimes that healing, that miracle happens immediately, and sometimes the Bible says if it's in the power of someone to do you good and they don't do it, it's a sin. If it's in the power of Dr. Rosen, when I call and say, "Doctor, I'm congested, I have sinus infection," and he prescribes me an antibiotic, and I take it for 5 days, then it was in his power to do me some good. I still need God to help me, but the antibiotic did me some good. I still need the Lord to do what the doctors can't do, but the antibiotic could do me some good, and if he hadn't done it, it'd be a sin for him. So I gave him an opportunity to please God. Now, some people, when I pray for them, they die. But that's because when their body can't take care of them any longer here on earth, Jesus says, "I'll take care of you now." I didn't want to see Brother Gregory go, and Sister Gregory didn't want to see him go. But when his body could not take care of him any longer, she became willing. And so the Lord could take him into his presence. Well, God has blessed us. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I say this reverently, but I say it. When you come to church on Wednesday nights, I believe that qualifies you as a diligent seeker. Therefore, it says you will be rewarded. You're almost afraid to say it, aren't you? But it's the gospel truth. It says he rewards those who diligently seek him, and you have diligently sought him tonight. You are in for wonderful rewards. Shall we stand? Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, I praise your name, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. All that you want to do, all that you want us to be, anything you want us to say, may it happen because of who you are, Jesus. Our faith is in you. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Your name is worthy to be praised. Your name above every name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you tonight, and as long as we have breath, praise you, Lord.